All right, so last year, Elaine and I, we taught a whole series about the parable of the sower and the fruits of the Spirit. And at the end of the series, we took the kids out to my dad's farm. So the kids got to see firsthand the effects of junk soil, bad soil, and they got to see the weeds and how it affected all the fruits. And the best thing about it is they got to pick all the fruits and the vegetables, so they got to see firsthand how good soil affects the harvest. And in today's message, Pastor Stan will be speaking about the parable of the sower and the four responses to the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Stan.
Good job, Joel. Nothing like an object lesson right in the garden itself. That's great. We have gone through many things in our journey through Luke. We have seen Jesus healing people. We have seen him interacting with Pharisees and sick people and casting out demons and forgiving people as well. As our last, one of our recent interactions that went on here, there was forgiveness that had to go on. And so now we come into this place where in Luke chapter 8, Jesus is telling a parable. He wants to explain something about the kingdom and how the kingdom works. So if you have your Bible, we'd like to look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we're going to be reading from verse 4 through 15. And if you have your Bible, go ahead and look at that, and I hope you'll take time to write some notes in it and underline and things like that. So sometimes when you have a nice, clean Bible, you're kind of afraid to mark it. It's almost like, ugh, you know, you don't want to mark your Bible. But remember, the goal isn't to keep your Bible clean. The goal is to get the Word of God in you. So whatever it does, whatever you need to do to get the Word of God in you better, let's go ahead and do that. We have the scriptures up on the PowerPoint, and so why don't we go ahead and read this together? We're going to read the entire section, which is about 11 verses, together, 11 or 12 verses, so that we get a whole context of this thing. It's really kind of the story told twice. Once is just the story, the sower, Jesus tells a story, and then he tells it again with an explanation, okay? So let's go ahead and read that verse, starting for verse 4. Ready, go. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." Lord, I pray that you take your word Help us to understand. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to assist us in having your word take root in our lives and have it be fruitful. We ask for your help, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we have this situation. We have Jesus trying to explain the nature of God's kingdom using something that is going on in the world, as we see in the physical world. As we see today, the world is full of all kinds of vegetation, right? So we see that God's word is like that. It goes out into all the world. In fact, there's a scripture that says that God's word goes out into the world and fills the world as the waters cover the sea. So we have that idea, this picture in our mind, that God's word goes out into all the world. And he uses this imagery from this from the idea of a seed being planted. And so we have a number of things that we need to go through in this parable, but it's a very rich parable. And as we go through this, I hope that we'll try to know how to understand this parable. Jesus actually gives us an idea of how to understand a parable. He tells many different parables, and this is one example of how he wants us to learn how to understand parables. So if I want to begin by asking the question, how do we interpret the parable of the secret of the parable? So I want to back up to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, is a parallel passage to this section in Luke chapter 8. And in that passage, after the disciples ask him, Lord, tell us about this parable. How do we understand this parable? He says, do you not know how to understand this parable? If you do not can't figure this out, how are you going to figure out any parable? It's kind of like, okay, this was supposed to be an easy parable, and maybe not so easy. So anyway, at least the disciples asked, right? He did say in Matthew, ask and you will receive. So sometimes you're afraid to ask. Just ask. You know, hopefully God will let you know. So here's a situation about a parable, this parable and other parables, that the meaning isn't immediately apparent because the story represents something else, represents some other deeper meaning. It's kind of like if you, in Aesop's Fable, how many of you are familiar with Aesop's Fables? You guys remember that from little children? So you have this story of the boy who cried wolf. You guys remember that story, the boy who cried wolf? There's a story of the boy who cried wolf, right? And he was kind of faking it, and pretty soon the real wolf came around and nobody responded because, yeah, he's just crying wolf. So the moral of the story is, if you keep lying, people are not going to believe you when the real thing happens. So there's a real moral behind this, there's a real message behind it, but it's being told by the use of a story. So there are lots of these things that are happening, but the reason why a parable is used, there are a number of reasons. Number one is, it's powerful. When there's an imagery like is written in the Word of God, it kind of sticks in your brain more than just theoretical concepts. So you have this sower going out, and you can actually see it right in your mind's eye, somebody out there going and scattering seeds. So it's powerful. It sticks in your brain. Another thing, though, is that you actually have to put some thought into it. You have to sit down and think, well, what does that mean anyway? And this is one of the tests of a parable, of somebody who's actually interested in understanding more of the words of Jesus. That is, if you are interested, you will sit down and think about this. What does this mean? Scratch your head, wonder about it, ponder about it, and hopefully shoot for those connections, aim for those connections that God has there for you. But you have to do that work. And it kind of separates out those who are willing to do that work, who wonder about it, from those who are just not really that interested. Oh, that's too much work. It talks about the kingdom of God and eternity and all these wonderful spiritual things, but I'm just not interested in that. And so for those who are just not interested in it, they won't put in that work, and they won't understand the parable. But when you understand the parable, you put in that work and you think about it, now you have some riches that are coming out of the story that's told. So In verse 8, let me see now. Okay, I do have my readers here. In verse 8 of this parable, Luke chapter 8, he says, when he calls out to the people, he says, "He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear." Now, everybody there heard this, right? So he's not speaking about physical hearing. He's talking about an internal kind of understanding. And pressing forth toward that kind of internal understanding that God wants us to have. He says, "He who has ears, let him hear." So there's more to it than just manually hearing the vibrations out of the air, or even just understanding what he said. He's really saying more than that. He's saying, if you heard me, do what I say. So it's like you tell your child to go clean the room, okay? You go back later and you tell your child, "I told you to clean the room." What does the child say? I know. Well, you know. Okay. And then what does the parent say? "Did you hear what I said?" Of course, they heard. The child thinks, "I heard." But did they clean the room? No. All right, you got some real meaning here. Okay, so what Jesus is saying here is more than just, did you hear? More than even, did you comprehend it? There's something that you need to do about this. Okay, so what are you going to do about it now? That's what I would tell my child. If you heard me, well, what are you going to do about it? Okay, so it's like that. When Jesus comes and he tells us, those who have ears, if you have ears to hear, hear it. Okay, so he's saying, listen up, there's something more to do. So I'd like to do a quick definition of the word. So the word of God in the Bible has many different meanings. As you know, it could mean refer to Jesus Christ as the word of God. He's the living word. It could be the spoken word of God, as prophets in the old days used to speak. Could be the written word of God. It could even be something bigger, the expression of God. So the word of God is the expression of God. As we're looking over here, Jesus is simply referring to the word of God. So as we receive the word of God in its various forms, there are many different ways God's word comes to us. However that comes to us, are we receiving it? That's the question. So the next question I'd like to ask is, who is the sower? Who is the sower? Who do you think the sower is in this passage? Anybody? God. Okay, who else? Anybody? Is there anyone else? Jesus? Okay, Jesus. He's probably speaking about what he's doing as he goes along. So what else? Who else could it be? Christians, the disciples. Good point. A lot of times we actually miss that. That anybody who sows the word is a sower. And God sows the word, Jesus sows the word, but we can also sow the word in people's lives. And we're going to get there in just a bit, talk more about that in just a bit. So today we want to learn valuable lessons about sowing. So we have this garden. Jesus talks about it. He says it's the heart. He's really saying the word where the sower scatters the seed is the hearts of people, among the hearts of people. And so there are four different kinds of grounds, and really the story is really simple. We could just read it in a minute or two and really kind of move on. But there's a hard ground. He talks about a hard ground. And this first ground, which is the hard ground, where the path is kind of trampled down, the seeds don't grow there. So they just kind of sit there, and then the birds come and eat it up, snatch it away. So the heart does not receive the word. What results from that is unbelief. Let me read verse 12 for you. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they cannot believe and be saved. It's an interesting thought, isn't it, that a person who receives the word, the devil can come and snatch away the word. So it makes it so that the word of God cannot take root in that person's heart. So we see the that the work of the devil is involved. So as we're looking at this situation here, we are looking at really the process of evangelism, process of sharing the word of God to people and scattering the word of God. So here's the question. If the devil is involved in snatching out the word of God from people's hearts, what's the solution? What's the solution to that? Do we shout louder? Is that going to scare away the devil, maybe? Okay. Maybe it'll scare away the devil. But what's a better way than shouting loud? How about prayer? Praying for those. Hey, somebody got it, see? Praying for those against the devil. That the word of God that goes into the hearts of people, the devil will stay away from. Give the seed, the word of God, time to grow up in that person's life. And so when we're sharing the word of God, it's very important for us to pray. We want to pray for the word that goes out. We want to pray that the devil will be kept at bay, that he won't come and snatch away the word, that the word will be able to find fertile ground. So here's the question that we have to ask. Do you understand this parable, number one? Number two, what do you do about it? Do you understand this parable, and then what should you do about it? So this first hard ground part is that there is a spiritual snatching away that takes place, can take place, and therefore we need to pray about it. We need to pray that the devil would protect that word of God that's planted in somebody's heart so that the devil doesn't snatch that away. The second soil is a stony soil. It's kind of like full of rocks, so there's this big rock, seed lands on the rock and just never grows, or if it grows, there's not much dirt for the seed, for the roots to penetrate down. And so there's no nurturing of the seedling. And look at verse 13, Luke chapter 8, verse 13. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but at the time of testing, they fall away. So we have a situation where a person's heart does not permit the word of God to take root. There's very little root there. And so when testing comes, they don't endure. But there's something there. What's there is emotion. You got that? They receive it with joy. They're happy. You guys know the people like that? They receive the word of God. Oh, they're happy. It's like they understand. They change their life. But then they just fall away. They don't seem to last. Their walk with God is simply one of emotion. They come to Christ and they receive the good news because it feels good. But when it starts to feel junk because there's persecution, guess what? They're going to take off because it doesn't feel good. This is a person who's merely following their emotions. They're not taking time to take the seed of word of God from that joyful place and allowing the roots to grow. So there's a very dangerous place here. Who's responsible for this heart? Remember this question? Who's responsible for this heart? It's the person. That person is responsible for that heart. So I want to ask, do you understand this parable? And then what should you do about it? In a room like this, there are probably people who fall into every category. There are people who I know who have come to Christ and they keep coming to Christ all the time, but they've never really set down roots. Perhaps this is a time to set down roots. Thirdly, there's thorny bushes. The thorny bushes is in verse 14, Luke 8:14. And that says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Thorny bushes. So here's a person who has other either priorities on their mind. They're busy, and so they don't have time to spend in the Word of God. Or they have pressures. Maybe it's financial pressures. Maybe it's stress. And so they don't spend that time in the Word of God. Or maybe they have appointments to keep. Or maybe they're too busy having fun. And so they're chasing fun, pleasures of the world. And these are the things that occupy their life. And they don't spend that time nurturing the Word of God in their life. This is really what Hawkins and Parkinson says in their book, Move. They identified people who have been in the church for a long time, but they grew to this much and they haven't grown any further. And so that's the question and that's the situation that many Christians find themselves in. They grow this far and then they stop growing. This is really what Jesus is talking about here. And people get stuck in this place of immaturity. And it's important to notice that time itself is not the solution to maturity. Time itself does not lead to maturity. It's really moving out the weeds, moving out the thorns, so that you make the Word of God in your life a priority. And allow that the time to grow. Give it that time and space to grow in your life. So who's responsible for the thorny weeds growing? Who's responsible? Us. We're responsible. That's right. So the question, do you understand this parable? And then what should you do about it? Do you understand this parable? That there are things that crunch in against us. There may be other people's priorities that are pressing in against you. But ultimately, it's your responsibility to say, you know, I need to devote time in the Word of God. And I need to allow this Word of God, the seed of God, to grow. Because if I don't, I will not mature. It's really kind of simple. You simply will not mature. And being in the church a long time will not mature you just by being in the church. And finally, we have this good soil. The good soil is a noble and good heart. You find that in verse 15. Verse 15 says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So here's another question again. Who's responsible for a noble and good heart? Us. Now, this is a little harder question. Because what if you come to Christ and you just don't have a good heart? What if you're like me and you're just full of corruption, just full of carousing and cuss words coming out of your mouth and lust and anger, rage, fits of rage. What if that's in your heart? What do you do? Then I think a first step would be you have to want to have a good heart. You see that good heart and you say, you know, my heart's not like that. But I want that. That's what I want. And that's maybe one of the most important steps is that you actually want to have a heart like that. And when you want to have a heart like that, then you can go to God and say, God, change my heart. Lord, I need your help in changing my heart. And secondly, get help. Be humble enough to say, you know what, my heart's really corrupted. I need some help. And then finally, stay at it. Stay at it. And that's the thing about this thing. You have to just kind of stay at it. Give the Word of God time to grow in your heart. And these are the, and so if you want this in your heart, the good soil, then you have good soil in your heart. The Word of God will take root in your heart and it will grow. You will retain the Word of God and persevere. Stay at it. And you will be fruitful. You will produce a crop. Instead of the words of cussing that come out of you, instead of the words of constant criticism when you sit in the back corner with your friends, instead of criticizing your boss and all the management and all the leaders and everything in a pity party. I understand this, by the way. Words of encouragement will come out. Words of understanding. Words of soothing people's anger will come out of your life. That will impact the next person, and that will change their life. So, do you understand this part of the parable? And then what should you do about it? So, here we want to look at, obviously, if you understand this part of the parable, that if you have a good heart, then really the to-do here is keep doing it. Keep nurturing that. Let that Word of God keep growing in your heart. Now I want to zoom out and ask some bigger questions. Where is the Word of God sown? It looks like the Word of God is being sown everywhere. Good soil, bad soil, medium soil, all kinds of different soils. And so this is what the scatterer, this is what the person does. So a sower, let me explain what a sower is. A sower is somebody who has some seed in their house, their pouch, and they scatter it around. They scatter it around. So that, in fact, Jesus says in this passage that the sower scatters the seed, right? Now, he doesn't say that the person plants the seed. There actually is a different word here. There is a person who plants the seed. The person who plants the seed is a farmer. Now, in New International Version, you probably would have the word farmer in there. In other versions, you might have a different word in there. But really, a farmer is somebody different. A farmer goes, and he looks at a piece of ground, he clears the ground, takes out the boulders, gets the plow, and plows the dirt, and then he goes down the furrow, and he sprinkles the seed in the furrow, the groove in the ground, and he covers it up. And then he waters it, right? And he takes care of that. If we would use this metaphor for another function in the church, we would call that discipleship. Discipleship is from the beginning to the end until the crop is raised up. But this is a person that's scattering. God's word just goes out everywhere. In other words, everywhere you go, you can share the Word of God. You might not be responsible as a farmer, but you can be responsible as one who sows, one who scatters. And so in your notes here, a sower scatters seeds. A husbandman or farmer plows the ground and plants seeds. Plants seeds. Husbandman is what we kind of do in the church here. That's the full scope of discipleship. But what we're doing is scattering seeds all over as we go our way out of this place. And that's what God is calling us to do. And there are important lessons for us to learn because it can be very discouraging. If you want to be a sower like Jesus was, you're going to scatter seeds and you're going to see some people not respond. Has that ever happened to you? And you're going to see some people that do respond. There was a guy who I interacted with quite a bit. He was a computer technician at John Hancock. He would help us out with our computers and interact with him quite a bit, talk to him about Jesus Christ and the gospel, said goodbye, and kind of went his way. And I don't know what happened to him until years later. And I saw him in the line at McDonald's and say, what are you doing now? Oh, I'm on Maui. Oh, yeah, what are you doing? He says, I'm leading Bible studies. What? When I left him before, there was no evidence of that he would lead Bible studies. But he got to a place where he just really is on fire for the Lord. There was another guy. I was at Honolulu Christian Church, and his fiance or girlfriend or something was going to leave him because he wasn't a Christian. He couldn't understand that. He said, what is that? Why would she leave me because I'm not a Christian? And So I can't really explain that for you. I can't tell you why that is the case. But he had all these questions about Christianity, and he ended up leaving and said, I was unsatisfied with your answers, Stan. You couldn't answer my questions. And I said, oh, I thought I answered your questions. Years later, I would see him, and he's in Bible study, and he's on fire for the Lord. And I think, whoa, my goodness, how does that happen? It's just a matter of sowing seeds. Not everybody's going to harvest, but God calls us to sow. There are many, many people who are like that. And God, we want to give people a chance to hear the word of God, to be people who sow the seed. As I'd like to conclude our time here by asking some reflection application questions. First of all, who are you in this parable? Who are you? Do you see yourself as the sower? Now, I didn't ask if you're a Christian. I said, do you see yourself as the sower? Do you scatter God's word all over the place? Are you the ground? If so, what kind of ground are you? And I've encountered people, by the way, who examined their own lives and said, you know what? I've never really cultivated the ground of my heart. And these people have been Christians for a long time, decades. And they said, I want to start doing that. And they started doing it. They started going to Sunday school and Bible study, and their lives changed as a result. It's never too late. Get involved. Get the word of God in you. Let the word of God grow in you. Allow that ground to change. Are there ways, this is the tough question here, but I need to ask it. Are there ways that you are like the birds of the air that snatch away the word of God from people's hearts? This may be kind of hard to understand or hard to conceive, but sometimes I wonder if I nullify the word of God, the work that the word of God wants to do in somebody's life. Sometimes I would hear somebody make a statement about some televangelist, and I think the televangelist is off, so I then go in and criticize the televangelist. What I'm doing is just negating what the word of God that the televangelist maybe put in their lives. And maybe I might not agree with everything or the ways the televangelist did something, but it's very easy for me to actually nullify the work of God in that person's life. And I've done it before. And so I need to be careful that I'm not like the birds of the air. I actually nullify the work of God in people's lives. So, you know, I know we have a closing song. I'd like to allow us to just quiet our hearts now. Take a moment to think about where you are, what kind of soil you have in your life. And I'd like to ask the band to come up. Just go ahead and play. And if you'd have a chance to go ahead and play, just meditate on this. But we are gonna wrap the service up. And we'd like to ask that if you consider what kind of soil is in your heart, then I would like to close with this time, and if you need prayer, I'd like to ask you to come up after we finish, and just come up and pray, and just kind of on the side, just come up and pray, okay? Our Father, Jesus' words are simple. They describe to us who we are. Father, I pray that you would lead us to the next place. Wherever we find ourselves, lead us to that next place. Because we know, Jesus, you don't just tell us this parable in order to lay out some facts and information. Because you want us to change. You want us to take that next step. So, Father, help us to be honest with ourselves and help us to hear your voice calling to you, that the word of God may grow in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.